COSCI Science Festival is back. It's the largest science festival in the Midwest, bringing together thousands of people every year. So it all starts on April 29th with 4 days of science activities across the city. And then we end it with the big science celebration outside of COSCI on May 2nd. There will be over 100 stations filled with hands-on science activities, live performances, and food trucks. It's free, and there's something fun for everyone. Learn more at COSCISciFest.org.
At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $24.99 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
How you doing, Super Scoreboard fans? This is Stephen Mill from the Big Scottish Football Podcast. If you like what you hear from this week's episode, you can subscribe to our very own channel by searching for the Big Scottish Football Podcast via your regular podcast provider. Or you can give us a follow on Twitter as well, at Big Football Scott. You can get us on Facebook and Instagram. And thank you again for taking the time to listen to our latest episode.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome along to the show. I'm Stephen Mill, he's Ewan Cameron. You all right?
I've had better weekends, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, it was quite funny. We'll get to that in just a wee second. By the way, thank you to Roger Hanna, who was on last week's episode. Thanks for all the comments as well. And we'll make sure that someday that intelligent will not be back on the podcast again. We'll look back on all the weekend's football action in Scotland. We'll check in if Scottish football were a restaurant. And we'll also join by another special guest for the whole episode. We'll get to him in just a wee second. Remember, you can find us in all your usual podcast places, on Twitter via Big Football Scott, and we're on Instagram and Facebook too. Just search the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Right, let's get to today's special guest. We asked you for some wrong guesses on Twitter last night, as per usual, and it was a mystery picture. It was so mystifying that it was a picture of Stuart Cosgrove with somebody else's face blanked out. So, some of the wrong guesses included Eamon Holmes, we had Susan Boyle, Timmy Mallett, Bobby Pooler, Mick Hucknall, Louis Moult, Barney the Purple Dinosaur, the next Dundee United manager, Keith Chegwin, Piers Morgan, the Go Compare guy. Surprisingly, it was none of those. It is one of the most successful radio presenters in Scotland.
Is he?
I would say so. I'd give him that.
Would you give him that title?
Absolutely.
One of the most successful radio presenters in Scottish radio.
Probably one of the biggest radio shows of all time in Scotland, I would say.
I don't think it's as big as the Real Radio Football phoning back in the day.
Bear in mind, we're talking national, boys. We're talking national.
Hold on a minute.
This isn't regional commercial radio.
Right, hold on a second. We didn't even introduce...
Do you think the listeners even know that we're sitting in your car the day?
Right, we haven't even mentioned your name yet, so you can't speak until you're introduced. And I tell you before you name him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got a text from him this morning at 8:30. He had a rider. Mm-hmm. For appearing on the show today.
I know, that's the BBC.
And his text message was black coffee and hobnob biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to text you at 9:30 this morning on your way in to get hobnob biscuits for our guest this morning.
And I did get hobnob biscuits.
You
we'll
did.
We'll get to that in a second. I'm not finished my intro.
All right, okay.
I'm not finished introducing them yet. Anyway.
What's his name?
It's Tam Cowan. How are you doing?
Yes! I'm lovely. Thank you.
I didn't even get to mention the hour with Michelle McManus there, so.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, there we go. Straight in. That's all right.
Oh my God, I forgot you did the hour with Michelle McManus.
I did the hour, but I only did it for approximately 48 minutes.
We were talking about last week because STV was 60 last week.
Yeah.
And they were putting loads of stuff up on social media.
Mindy used to put stuff up on the TV screen. The days are gone.
Well, actually, we're talking to somebody who had his own show on it, STV2.
He was on it.
I was on it, yeah.
God.
He enjoyed it.
Yeah,
we got 20 viewers that night.
Yeah, it was great.
That was a big one. That was a big one.
Now, your rider was a large black coffee. Now, you've got the coffee.
Yeah.
And we've also got hobnobs for you, but I don't know why.
Remember
we've got...
the days when Steven Gerrard rider could have been you? You were basically offering that, weren't you?
Right, hold
so
on.
So far up his tail, you can nearly see Daryl Curry's shoes.
I admire Steven Gerrard,
yeah.
Right?
Aye.
Don't be hinting
How's
anything
he getting
else.
On down south?
Well, you had a good draw at the weekend there against Man City.
Wow.
Why are you going to pop at me?
I'm just...
No, you are. Anyway.
Right, anyhow, you've got a selection of hobnobs here.
Yeah, but it's Stephen Mill who bought them.
Do you know the reason? I couldn't find normal hobnobs.
What do you mean?
They're surprisingly quite difficult to find.
You've got normal ones. See, the only thing is, I love a hobnob, but I don't like chocolate hobnobs.
Well, see, that's...
I kind of, as a rule, don't like chocolate biscuits.
So
I can open the hobnobs.
You can open the hobnobs if
By the way, how weird is that you don't like a chocolate biscuit? Well, any chocolate biscuit?
No, if I like a wee bit of chocolate now and again, and it's got to be in the fridge. You one of they guys?
Aye, I love
it. Chocolate's got to be in the fridge. You'll go like chocolate aficionados. Well, do you want a wee hobnob?
Thank you for asking, but I'm all right.
It's all right. Right, I'll
have
yourself.
One.
Dig in. Hang on, this is commercial radio, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
What I do love, though, is a Tunnock's caramel wafer. Tunnock's. The best biscuit by a mile.
We used to put chocolate in the fridge and the freezer because it would last longer.
Oh, aye.
When you're a wee
we
bit.
We did that with my gran.
Tam, we are going to go through the weekend's football action.
Oh, brilliant.
We're going to keep it nice and brief.
Okay.
That's what we like to do. So, you need one word to describe each of the results in Scottish football.
Now, can I remind
weekend?
You that on my own show, Off the Ball, we don't normally talk about football, so I
might which is fine. All you need to know, all you need to know is 21 words. That is all you need
to
know.
So, answer all of these in one word.
Yes,
all right. Okay, I love things like this.
And you can't repeat any of the words.
Yes,
okay.
No repeats. So,
right, this is great.
Start off on Saturday in the Premiership. Celtic 4, Rangers 0. One word, Tam.
Annihilation.
Nobody would disagree with that. Hibs 1, Kilmarnock 0.
Red?
Red card.
Oh, the Kilmarnock red card,
Ash Taylor getting sent off. Livingston 1, Hearts 0.
Spark.
Spark?
That's what Robbie Nielsen claims the team has lost.
Oh, right.
And he's hoping it'll come back thanks to the electric atmosphere at Tynecastle.
Well, can I just say that Robbie Nielsen is on a shugly peg just now?
Well,
he's doing my boxing. He needs to prioritise the league and not Europe.
Yeah.
This swapping and changing and
beatings. And if you're getting upset, think how the Hearts fans must feel.
Motherwell 0, Dundee United 0.
Oh, penalty. Kevin Van Veen, I already said that I think he takes, do you know what I mean by this, guys? I think he takes an English Premier League penalty. You know, the guys who just got up and they blast it.
Aye.
And they don't care, they're no panicky wallop. And we were talking about this in our show on Saturday, and then a good Saturday afternoon, and he misses a penalty. We hump Dundee United 0-0, if you can do such a thing.
What are you thinking of Stevie Hamill? Because, see, when Stevie Crawford got the Dunfermline job, Stevie Crawford was a Dunfermline legend.
Yep.
Is there not a wee bit you thinks this is going to end in
there's
tears?
Always a wee bit, because maybe Stuart Cosgrove had the best example of that back in the day with John Connolly,
mm-hmm.
who was the ultimate St Johnstone legend back in the day, and he came in as manager and did not work at all. So I've kind of always stored that away. But no, Stevie Hamill's record appearances for Motherwell post-war, he got a testimonial, he's in our Hall of Fame, he had been fronting up the academy, which has been hugely successful, but he didn't get involved in football when he was a kid just to front up an academy.
Yeah.
You know, he definitely had eyes on the dugout at Fir Park, and what a transformation. Style mm-hmm. of play and all the rest of it. No harm to Graeme Alexander, right? The football under him was guff. It was really, really poor to watch. But we did finish in fifth. He did get us into Europe. You know, what a week that was. Right?
Did you go to the matches?
I went to the home game, and then, ridiculously, even though we lost 1-0 in the home tie, a wee bit like Llanelli back in the day, right?
Yep.
We lost that at home as well, and it was at Airdrie's ground. But all the boys were saying, and it sounds, it's cringing out, we'll keep the money for the next round, you know?
Yep.
And then it ended up scud it again.
Classic.
By Sligo. But that was brutal. The team was brutal. And Stevie Hamill has come in, tweaked the team a wee bit. It's more or less the same players, you know. And of course, we brought back King Louis, which is absolutely superb. But different style of play, a lot more midfield, a lot more passing, guys out in the wing. It's just been transformed.
Since that was Motherwell, we allowed you more than one word. So
that was more than one word.
Ross County 1, Aberdeen 1.
Disappointing. That's for a personal point of view. Okay. And that's because if we are ever going to break the monopoly, the duopoly, sorry, of Celtic and Rangers, and it's now, what, 37 years since Emery, it has to be somebody like Aberdeen you're looking at, with the best will in the world. Maybe Hearts, maybe Hibs. But, you know, the big, I was going to say the one club, one city kind of thing, but of course you've got Cove Rangers up there now making great strides. But in terms of the money potentially for oil firms or whatever it might be, the size of Aberdeen, the history, I think they're always the club that if it clicked into place, you're looking to maybe lay a glove on Celtic and Rangers. So
are you suggesting that Aberdeen are the third biggest club in Scotland? Are
yes.
the only club out with the rest that could at any point get...
I think they are. I don't think there is such a thing as the third biggest. And I think you've got Celtic and Rangers and you've got AN others. You've got the also-rans.
But do you think Aberdeen are the only ones that potentially could split the old firm?
Yes.
St Johnstone 3, St Mirren nil.
One word.
Nicky Clark scoring on his debut for St Johnstone.
Yeah, taking that second-hand info, I think it's this, he's the sort of player that St Johnstone were needing. And if I was a Saints fan, I know my big mucker is, I'd be quite excited at the prospect of the Nicky Clark, Stevie May duel.
Arbroath nil, Partick Thistle 2. One word, please.
Bubble. As in pop, as in Arbroath. I think a lot of folk maybe saw it coming. I'd love to think they were able to get themselves back up that league, but you get the feeling that last year was their chance.
Yes,
they'd never
right.
gone for them, and they'd a lot of players as well that had managed to get in and loan, who'd done them a turn, who'd gone back again. And, you know, I was expecting no more for Bobby Lynn with him being a bin man and having had a couple of weeks off. You know, I was expecting him to be a bit fresher. Yeah. Just obviously at that level, these guys have got to work during the day. No, he was lying watching this morning and all that, you know. But yeah, so it's a shame because everybody loved that story last year.
It was a great story.
You know, it was absolutely superb. So sadly, I think the bubble may have burst.
Cove Rangers 2, Hamilton 2.
Richard.
Richard Gordon, who's now at Cove Rangers. Dundee 3. Queen's Park now.
Champions.
Professional.
Yes, I think so. Morton 1, Ayr United 2, top of the league.
Sleeping, as in giant.
Ayr United.
A lot of folk laugh at you, right? And they say there's no such thing now as a sleeping giant. Those days are gone. But I still look at the clubs, and you're going to mention a few of them in just a minute, Stephen, who shouldn't be where they are in Scottish football, right? And Ayr United, as much as they're one of the towns that suffer, I know what it's like at Motherwell, where every weekend they'll see fans leaving to go and watch Rangers and Celtic. But if Ayr United could get a wee bit of success, if they could get back up to the Premiership, you watch their crowds then.
Raith Rovers nil, Inverness, Caledonian Thistle 2.
Justified.
A justified victory.
Yeah,
for Inverness.
Because we stole a penalty off them in the cup game last week, and wee Billy Dodds, I thought he was going to have an aneurysm down in the dugout, and he was going mental. And I thought that must have been bad because we were 3-0 up at the time. But he saw this as a great injustice, you know.
Right, let's drop down into League One. Probably one of the results of the weekend, I would say. Airdrie 0, FC Edinburgh 6.
Where did that come from?
Exactly. Shocker, that's the only word for that.
Yeah,
one.
Totally.
So, Kelty Hearts 2, Falkirk 0. Another shout for a weekend result, that one.
And another sleeping giant who shouldn't be where they are.
I'm going to say
Kelty are fine in the corner.
I'm going to say panic there. I know the bitterness that's seeping from you, obviously, Stephen, for all things Falkirk. But yeah, I panic because I would reckon, and I don't know anything about the finances of the club behind the scenes, but I reckon they have to get up this season, Falkirk, or they could be in serious danger. They can't stay in that league again.
Peterhead nil, Montrose 2.
I would go there with...
You're struggling now, mate.
No, time.
Because Peterhead...
No.
Jim McAnally,
I think a bit of time at Peterhead. They've had the same manager now. He's the longest serving manager in Scottish football, right? I think you need a bit of time. I don't think we're able to say that Aberdeen should have backers coming in the oil industry or not, whilst ignoring then Peterhead, you know. And there must be folk at Peterhead, maybe in the board, certainly the supporters, who see what's happening to teams like Kelty Hearts and Bonnie Rigg Rose and saying, come on, come on, we've had a stability for a while now. They've never, ever since the pyramid started, they've never been in any danger of dropping out the arse end of Scottish football. I'm just wondering, you know, if time, you know, I wonder if we can latch on to Peterhead.
You're putting a call out for investors into Peterhead, basically. So Queen of the South 0, Dunfermline 2.
Champions again.
You know what? I would maybe say champions. I think it's clicked into place now for Dunfermline. The crowds are there, which is always imperative.
James McPake's doing a good job.
Yep, and you know what? For a couple of reasons, James McPake, always like when Emden football, be it a manager or a player or whatever, has got something to prove.
Yes,
and I think he's wanting to be able to wag the finger back at a few folk.
Yeah,
and also put James McPake onto the wonderful world of getting a motorhome.
Oh really?
He was sitting quite casually when he was kind of in limbo. He was sitting next to me in the BBC. We're watching. It was a day. Mullow were out of reach for me up at Aberdeen this Saturday, whatever. And I've no time to go there after the show. Well, you'll sit and watch all the games coming in, you know, and all the pundits and that for sports scene at night. Will be sitting there, you know. So James had got a wee gig when he was between clubs, and he just casually said to me, he says, "Oh, I keep seeing your pictures of the motor. That looks great and all that, you know." So I gave him the name of the guy we got ours from. Numbered that, and I believe he dipped his toe into it, had a wee go at it, and that was it. So yeah,
is it a lifestyle you'd recommend, the motorhome lifestyle?
That's great. It's great as long as there's some key elements, only number ones on board, right? Because you go to the campsite, you use the facilities, ditto with the showers. Because amazingly, they've got a beautiful shower in it, but because of the tech side of the motorhome and no having to keep putting water in it and all that, you use the shower block, and the shower blocks are all by and large very, very nice, you know. But it's great. It's absolutely great. It drives like a dream, and you can, you know, you're your own boss when you're out on the road. And there's so many folk who see me. I say, I was up at Glencoe last week. Oh, I've never been to Glencoe, and you feel like giving them a slap. You know that way. You think you've got this beautiful country that's literally on your doorstep. 2 hours in central Scotland, you can go 2 hours in any direction
and be somewhere beautiful.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah.
My dad is currently 2 weeks into a 5 week trip around Germany, Austria, and the Netherlands in his motorhome, and he's absolutely loving it.
Would you go abroad with your motorhome?
Yeah, absolutely would. The north of Spain. Have you been to the north of Spain?
No, I haven't.
It's apparently
like that,
meant to be motorhome heaven, and they're really, really unlike.
I can't believe I'm hearing that.
Motorhome heaven. Well, unlike
Kevin banging on about motorhome heaven.
See, unlike as much as even Bicar originally wanted to do the North 500 thing,
North Coast 500,
but then I've hearing all these stories now that locals up there are like throwing eggs and all that.
They're not liking it.
There's guys leaving rubbish, which is absolutely abhorrent, but it's meant to be the flip side of that in the north of Spain. If you behave yourself, that they love the extra money that it brings. It's meant to be stunning. So I would drive anywhere. I love driving. So yeah.
So moving on to League Two, Annan 2, 4-4-1.
Bridie.
4-4 Bridie. East 5-0, Dumbarton 1.
Sleeping again.
No, you can't. You've repeated your words.
Oh, right. You can't go sleeping again.
Right, okay. So I'm ambulating.
I'm not going to ask what that means, but we'll move on.
No, it's sleepwalking, which wouldn't be fair. Right, snoozing. Aye, snoozing.
Elgin City 2, Bonnyrigg Rose 0.
Disheartened.
Because they've been a wee bit up and down, Bonnyrigg.
Aye, Bonnyrigg. That I was looking, even their name, because that's so lovely. I was looking for them really to make inroads, and what a great story that would be. They've got the grass pitch and everything there.
Yeah.
We just assumed. I remember at the start of the season, on up another plastic pitch in Scottish football, and the Bonnyrigg Rose fans tore us a new one. No. We've got the grass pitch. Tam, that's that. You know, and they've got a good wee social scene.
Yeah.
They've got a good committee. So yeah, I'm keeping an eye on them.
They'll be fine.
They'll be fine.
They're not going to go down, but I think. Though if they get in the playoffs, that would be great. Quickly, Stenhousemuir 3, Stranraer 1.
Boring.
And Stirling Albion 1, Albion Rovers 1.
That'll do.
Buckfast.
There it is. The Battle of the Albions. Thank you very much, Tam Cowan. That was the one word review that went into many, many words. So there we go.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Right, let's get on to a couple of other talking points at the weekend. We've barely mentioned Celtic versus Rangers. Obviously, annihilation was the word that Tam used. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. What about Barry Ferguson, eh?
Oh, did you see that?
Yeah.
See,
now, obviously, Tam, you've worked in newspapers for many years. These are sort of presumably ghostwritten for them. Is it just like them on the phone? And then
how dare you assume that Barry Ferguson couldn't sit down at a word processor and write 900 words? No, but you know, that's the way it's worked since a year. Oh, everybody knows that. So you'll get one of the more. Because Barry in the Record, fellow columnist, if you like. Barry, of course, is a big name. He's a huge name in Scottish football. So the deal there would have been, it'll be one of certainly the more upper end boys in the sports desk who would phone Barry. They'd get the gist of what Barry's talking about over the phone, and they would form it into a column. And again, the one thing I would say about Barry, you know, that the headline was all about Sust, and
with Sust Geo's got plan A, B, C and D, whereas Ange Postecoglou's only got one plan, and that's A.
And as I say, if only Barry would come out and say that, you know, Putin's got Zelensky sus, that worried you over the border, you know, that'd be great. But you know, but Barry, of course, he doesn't even write the column, never mind the headline. But columnists don't write the headline. I've been caught up in that forever. Years historically, when you have to, you keep saying to folk, look, I don't write the headline, you know, because sometimes the headline, that's what it's for. It's to grab the eye, you know, and it's to lure folk in, etc. So, but, you know, and he's trying to, I think, backtrack a wee bit today, but still.
He's doubled down today.
I know, he's still in one hand saying, no, but he did, and Rangers were better at 4-0. But, you know, Celtic at that point, we're looking forward to, you know, Real Madrid. Celtic at that point might have got the message, as much as it seems frenetic stuff with Ange Postecoglou, they might have got the message for the bench that, you know, right, boys, take it easy a wee bit. We've got a huge game on Tuesday and you're four scud up, you know. So, but abject stuff for the Rangers fans. They must be, their season is just absolutely flipped in 90 minutes.
Celtic are playing a different game from everyone else just now, by the looks of it, Ewan.
They're in another stratosphere, aren't they? The football they're playing just now is unbelievable.
Jota's goal. We mentioned Jota a couple of weeks ago, and I think it was he scored a goal down at Kilmarnock that was a cracker as well. And we got a few tweets saying, "Oh, what's the big loving over Jota?" from Rangers fans. And then
a lot of people shouted at me because I said he's a £30 million player. I think he's now a £40 million player. I think he's that good. He is an outstanding footballer, and that goal he scored from the O'Reilly pass was world class. See, if that's Messi scoring that goal or Ronaldo, it's on the highlight reel all week. But it's unbelievable.
If Celtic are, though, a really big club and they're hoping to prove that against Real Madrid, I think you got to fine Kyogo for that daft celebration when he landed on his injured shoulder. That meant it only lasted 17 seconds in a game. That's bonkers.
Can I ask you about Gio?
Is
Gio and Stevie G.
Right.
Can I ask you about Gio Van Bronckhorst, the Rangers manager? Has he got cred in the bank because of what happened in Europe last year? Or is he under huge pressure now that one more defeat and he might be on his way?
Well, you know what? That's a wonderful world of Scottish football, because you would think, yeah, of course he's got credit in the bank. He took Rangers to a European final, and everything was more or less hunky-dory until the referee blew the first whistle at Celtic Park. It's as simple as that. But again, the rivalry is thus that the Rangers fans, if you check to any Rangers fans on social media, ever, not even since the final whistle went half-time in that game, then you're right, they're suddenly roasting everybody. They're wanting Stephen Davis. He's too old now. But he was always the guy that they lauded, and they looked at him as a hero figure, you know. Poor John McLaughlin, you know. I mean, you could argue that ultimate blunder didn't actually matter, right? Mm. But he's getting flamed as well. I do personally think it's a bit of a daft thing. If you're going to give Alan McGregor
a new contract.
Play the guy.
Aye.
Because I only think it's Craig Gordon ever overshadowed him. Maybe our last season. I always thought Alan McGregor was brilliant. And, you know, so that's a strange, strange setup there. But, yeah, there's undoubtedly pressure on Van Bronckhorst now, you know. And and you could see that after it when he went out to the Rangers fans at the end of the game and gave them the wee kind of wave of apology. You know, that kind of said it all. Yeah. Right?
In terms of you on off the ball, Tam, you've obviously been doing it for, 28 years?
28 years.
And in that time, would you say you get accused of being a Celtic fan more or a Rangers fan more?
Split right down the middle.
Do you think so?
And that's the bit. I'd almost have that in my tombstone, because that means you're doing something right.
Yeah.
Right? They can criticise you for then, but as long as it flips about, and it's the usual thing, I've had it for years and years, whether it was the newspapers, the radio, the telly, whoever's due a bit of a bleaching, you know, if you think Celtic, John Barnes here or whatever, Fergus McCann coming in after that hapless board were in place, or else you think the Rangers 2012 and all that. Yeah. As long as you keep mixing it up and all the rest of it, you'll get the accusations. But the kind of trope, as far as we're concerned, is that I am supposedly a Rangers fan in some people's eyes ever since a guy claimed I walked with an orange marching band in Burnbank in Hamilton. Now, if anybody knows Burnbank in Hamilton, you've got kind of, it's just as you go by like Peacock's Crows, Peter Equies, yes. Amazing fish and chip shop, yes. Ice cream parlour. You carry on down there. And this was somebody that was being quite cute, because what they knew or they'd heard me saying in the past is that everybody's got a favourite auntie and uncle. My favourite auntie and uncle, Uncle Bobby, Auntie Agnes, and they lived in Burnbank, and I used to go there all the time. And because of that, sometimes a wee midweek Hamilton game when I was a kid and all that, and I'd go there on my bike for Motherwell, you know. So somebody's heard this and it's percolated a wee bit, and they thought, I saw him in Burnbank. So that I'm in, and, oh no, but even though I hadn't done it, oh no, he's caught me, because he knows that I've been in Burnbank. But then the flip side of that, and it always absolutely makes Mr. Cosgrove wet his knickers for the key detail in this. But I've been accused of being a Celtic fan by somebody who keeps repeating the fact, he says in inverted commas, that I was the treasurer on a Celtic supporters bus at Glasgow University. So, can you spot the flaw?
You know, over the past couple of weeks, we've done some predictions on the show for some of the big matches, PSV versus Rangers being the first one that we did, and I said that PSV would win 3-1 against Rangers over there in Holland, because I'd watched the whole game, the first leg, and I thought, I think PSV have got the beating of Rangers here. I predicted 3-1, and after that, I got absolute dogs abuse on social media. Closet Celtic fan at the weekend. Yep. I said that Celtic would win 3-1. They've won 4-0. Strangely quiet since the weekend. Strangely quiet. It's only the ones that I get wrong that I get accused of being a Celtic. But why do people get so hit up about predictions?
I know. They assume. I know, exactly. Because everybody's meant to give them. You know, there's other things to get wound up about in football. But it's still the best thing ever.
Let's move on to our next thing, which is if Scottish football were a... Now, Tam, we're going to fess up here because we do this every single week.
Okay.
So it's a feature where we say, if Scottish football were a... dot, dot, dot. So Brilliant. This week it was a restaurant, right?
Right.
And we get people to send in their puns. Now, I know it's a completely original idea that you won't have heard of before. So you're going to choose the winner this week.
Okay? Right, brilliant.
So I'm going to read some of them out. And let's go for it then. So if Scottish football were a restaurant, you would need a Rue and Vine list, of course.
Good. That well, this is the team of the week. Right, I mean, don't get, we've been doing it for 28 years, but it wasn't original then. These things had always appeared in, like, Shoot magazine back in the day. No, don't feel embarrassed.
You know what? We spoke about this beforehand, right? Because we just like puns more than anything. I like puns.
Yeah.
And you said the exact same thing. You were like, there are no original ideas.
There are no original ideas. I mean, look at Ann and Deck. They've made a career out of regurgitating ideas from old TV shows.
Yeah, absolutely. So welcome to...
Can't go that Stephen Mulhern.
Oh, really? I know.
That kind of permanent smirk. all went wrong again. No, he just loves it when it all goes wrong. Didn't it? You know, don't have him driving a train.
We're not going to steal anything else for your show.
That's fine.
So anyway, petty and ill-informed as always. So. Lamb Shankland from Jambo Joe.
Oh, I like that.
Yep.
I mean, I like a lamb shank.
Diego Maradona meat.
Yeah, that's pretty decent.
That's from Gavin Riddick. Hello to Craig Black Rooster from Kevez.
So lovely.
Black
yes.
Rooster, yeah. Reagan Charles Cooking Indies.
very good.
From Craig B, 2002. 2002, I should say. Ronnie Pilar. He gets in there as well. That's quite good.
Nah, Pilar. Nah. I'd say Pilau for the rice.
Right, okay, fair enough, yeah. Haggis, Neeps, and Hatatis.
Oh, lovely.
Brian Rice.
Can I tell you a story about that? I sent that. Mind it was the old, was it the Old Firm game?
Yes.
And Hatati was great, and it was right near Burns Night. And I texted that to Andy Walker, who was working live on the Sky Sports game, and he used it to Ali McCoist.
He didn't even give
me the credit. I sent it into him. Aye, there you go.
And he used it during the actual game.
Aye, at the end of it, when we were looking back, Hatati, I can't even mind what he'd done now, but the pun.
He scored a great goal.
And I said, there you go, Andy. That's your first line when it comes back to you. Haggis, Neeps, and Hatatis. And he used it and didn't even give me a credit.
Kyogo Furahash Browns.
Yeah, it's all right.
That's all right. Michelin Starfelt.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
You're running out of them now, aren't you?
Coca-Cola. What else have we got here? So,
I like Quiche Lasley.
Quiche Lasley. Very good. Grandy Halliday.
Yeah.
Nah.
Colin Dish. Joe Newell Potatoes. That's from Mark Thompson.
That's not bad,
Robbie Pease. Steady Robbie D's. Granny Jeffers. Victor Wagamama.
Yeah, no yeah, bad guy.
Okay. Hank Marvin Bartley.
Yeah, that's good. I like Hank Marvin.
Daryl Curry, obviously, and Charlie Mulgrew's own veg. What are we going for? That's from Will.
That's no bad. They're no bad. They're okay.
Right, right. What are we going for? What's the winner out of them?
I quite liked because I don't mind a wee Wagamama.
Okay.
In fact, commercial on it. It's my favourite noodle bar to go for a pleasant night, casual, and if you don't mind sitting next to complete strangers on a bench, it's fabulous.
Well done to JM22. Victor Wagamama wins this week. For next week's episode, we want your suggestions for if Scottish football were a theme park. For example, Waltz or Smith. Straight in there. The Pepsi Max Christie. Christian Dodgums. Cy Ferris Wheel. Gavin Helter Skelton.
That's
like
no
that.
Bad. Yep.
There's some to get you underway. So at Big Football Scott for next week's episode, you can tweet us your suggestions there and on Facebook and on Instagram as well. Speaking of, the brand new Scotland strip was released last week, and we have teamed up with the Scottish FA to give away some tops, some brand new Scotland jerseys. So this is what you need to do. Head to Big Football Scott on Twitter, follow the page, like the tweet, and tag two of your mates in it. That is all you need to do. So at Big Football Scott on Twitter, follow the page, like the tweet, and tag two of your mates. That is it. We'll announce the winner on next week's episode, and three of you will get a signed football as a runners-up prize as well. We don't know who it's signed by. That's the only problem.
The two of you and Tam so far.
Right, okay, that's fine.
Cool.
Right. Wait, hold on a second. Am I not getting to sign a ball?
Aye. What part of the two of you and Tam do you not understand?
Why don't you also send them out a packet and you can hear them rustling of my very own hobnobs?
Well, exactly.
The chocolate variety that I don't like.
Exactly. So we'll chuck that in as a runners-up prize.
What do you think of the new top?
I think it's all right. I think it's decent. Yeah.
It's got a 1986 vibe for me from the World Cup of Mexico.
At Big Football Scott on Twitter, follow the page, like the tweet, and tag two of your mates, and that is you into the draw. Right, let's move on to our next part and talk about you, Thomas Cowan. So here we go. Now, the Thomas Cowan affair, that's what we're going for.
Ah.
That was his idea,
thank
not
you.
Mine.
Thanks,
who told you about it?
right, Tam, we've got...
It was one me night, I was drunk. Oh, sorry, you don't... you're just having a play on words.
Right,
you... Only ever had one one-night stand.
Really?
One-night stand, and it was a disaster. That's 17 years we've been married now.
Right, 28 years you have been on Off the Ball with Stuart Cosgrove, and we'll get to some questions about various things in your career in just a wee second, but Ewan has some quickfire questions.
All right.
Motherwell to win the league or Scotland to win the World Cup?
Oh, Motherwell to win the league. Absolutely.
I would sacrifice hearts.
Motherwell first, Scotland second. There's a lot of guys. Stuart used to be Scotland first, St Johnston second. That's true. He was Mayor Mary. He thought he was a Scotland fan first, St Johnson second. And I can understand if you... No, wouldn't it be the same? I'm thinking here, sorry to elongate this, but I'm thinking about the hardcore Tartan Army guys, maybe up in the northeast of Scotland, maybe through in Angus and all these places. You think, what would you want, guys? Would you want Scotland to win the World Cup or your team Brechin to win the league? I'm pretty sure they would also want Brechin. Imagine
you
that,
think
Brechin
so?
To win and get into the Champions League.
Okay. If you're a bald chef, should you wear a hat?
In terms of getting a hair in your soup, you should maybe just make sure your zip is up.
What is the worst restaurant you've ever reviewed?
Oh, the worst restaurant I have ever reviewed. There's one, I better not name it for legal reasons, but it was absolutely horrendous. It was in the Grass Market in Edinburgh.
Right, okay.
It was a pub that does food. And it was awful. And just for the purposes of it, because it was kind of good fun to get a really honker every now and again, because they're mere fun to write,
yes.
You know what I mean? But it was absolutely appalling. Me and my mate Jim was there. Beautiful, beautiful young girl had served us, and she was apologising even as she brought it up. You know, it looked honking, right? And it was, I remember, it was some sort of lamb casserole thing I'd got. And by the time she brought it out, there was a thick kind of sludgy skin that almost formed on top of it. A couple of wee bits of lamb, and I says to my mate John, I says, look, have the slightest of taste of that. His was honking as well. And I says, well, we've got Edinburgh on our doorstep. And we ended up, I think, going for a curry. You can never go fail there, you know. So that was the worst place, but I'm not at liberty to mention it.
You've also given a poor review to somewhere where our intern Callum was working in St Andrews back in the day.
Was it a curry house?
No.
in St Andrews?
Mitchell's Deli. I was assistant manager there back in a different life.
Aye. So what was my main gripe about that place?
I screenshotted it.
Did you? Good.
Just before this, I thought it'd be quite funny.
Something for a better looking stalker.
I've got a really sensitive touch.
Right.
The hooks on the coat rack look like a set of spares belonging to Abu Hamza was the first line.
Excellent.
Then you said of the toilets, the fancy lotions and potions and the gents were lovely, but what can I say about the toilet pan without putting you off your breakfast? Two words, Brands Hatch.
Right, lovely.
And then you left
skid marks, that would be, yes.
That'd be, yeah, yeah, I think that was the reference here.
And so far so good, this is great.
The last line was my favourite.
What?
The highlight was dessert. Creamy scoops of banana, vanilla and chocolate fudge brownie ice cream that we both savoured. Unfortunately for Mitchell's, we actually got her in the corner at Janetta's, the ice cream
bar. Excellent. Good old Janetta's.
Best Motherwell game you've ever attended?
Right, I'm not going to say the obvious. The 6-each game with Hubs.
Oh, what a game that was. I watched that on the telly.
It was on Sky, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was a Sky
and
game.
And they keep showing it. They know how good it is because they were very lucky to have the cameras there that night. It was May the 5th, 2010. And it was just, you know, everything, the 6-2, the fans leaving, which spawned one of my favourite stories of all time, a true story, don't mind repeating it. And it was, when it was 6-2 to Motherwell, there was a lot of the Motherwell fans, understand, was saying, right, off, that's that, I'm away, come on, we're gone. So they were all dribbling out, dribs and drabs, including one of my mates, who sits there on the Sailor Hunter stand, east stand, and he was heading out, and just as he got near the gates, he realised he needed to go into the loo, right? And he went, right, so he went into the loo, and as he's walking into the toilet, he heard a wee roar. And he went, oh, 6-3, a wee late consolation, you know what I mean? Sat down in the pan, almost as his bum touched the seat, he heard another wee roar. And he thought, oh, 6-4, right? So he comes out and he stood there washing his horns, right? Because he wasn't for Dunfermline. And he hears another roar, 6-5. And he thinks, oh, I'm not going to him now. So he sprints back out, back down into the stand that he sits in, row D, seat 14. And just as he takes his seat again, Lukas Jutkiewicz, with that amazing Marco van Basten effort, right over the head of Graham Smith. Motherwell 6, Hibs 6. And the next morning, the guy, it's brilliant, put on the Steelmen online message boards a thread, the best I've ever had. So I'd go with that one. That was just, I'll never see anything like that again.
It was unreal. Have you ever gone commando?
No, because I read somewhere that apparently you're only meant to go commando if you're wearing your own tartan.
Oh, right.
Right, and I've no got my own tartan. So, no, I've never been commando.
Best and worst guest on Off the Ball over the 28 years you've done it.
God, aye. Best, right, I'll be quite controversial here. The best, because he's such great value, and we've never had a bad show with him, and he's been on maybe about 4 or 5 times, is George Galloway. And the reason I can say that without fear or favour is that I'm no politically minded, right? I keep across anything that's happening, particularly in Scotland and maybe the world at large, but because I don't have any axe to grind when it comes to politics, I take politicians in our show, and we've had plenty.
Yes,
we've had all the first ministers, we've had all that, right? I just take them at face value, and if they bring something to the party, as they say, then great. And George Galloway is always absolutely brilliant value, including one day we had him on our Sunday show, and I can't even mind what we were talking about, but George went into this like 7-minute monologue about why we should protect bees, right? For nowhere, about what bees do for the planet and that. And he went in there without any like hesitation, repetition, nothing. It was just this beautifully structured speech about bees, you know. And coming out of the studio that day, see if you'd have seen somebody swatting a bee, you'd have taken a reader. So George is always absolutely brilliant. The worst, just because I thought, and I really like them, and I like their music and all the rest of it, and the Lanarkshire boys, but when we had Hugh and Cry come in, Pat and Greg, the same day we had wee Ruth Davidson, okay, who at that time was the leader of the Scottish Tories. So we've got the leader of the Scottish Tories and Pat, particularly Pat and Greg, whose politics, you know, are maybe a wee bit distant from her, you know. But he sat in there, and it was never the spirit. And you know what it's like for all the years you've done radio? You always want to have a good spirit in the studio.
Yes.
There's nothing worse than a kind of wee bit of coldness or a wee bit of somebody's, you know, and a wee bit of the huff or whatever. So while we're doing the whole show, it was horrible. Pat, as I'm sitting with you, you're Ruth Davidson, I'm Pat, Pat, what's his Pat Kane. I'm Pat Kane. And while he's talked to us, the whole show, he's kind of on the half turn, almost literally giving her the cold shoulder. And anything that she did say, getting the big tuts for Pat and the rolling eyes and the eyebrows, right? And then that was fine, we get by that, right? And Ruth is a politician, they've had all that, they've had things thrown at them and horrible emails, and some of them have had bullets in the post and all that stuff, you know. But when we went out after it, and we always do the wee team photo just outside the studio to go up on the website or whatever, or up on Twitter. We went out for a photo and we lined up, and it was me and Stuart at the bookends. We had Pat, Greg and Ruth in the middle. And just as a young girl that works on the show was ready to just take the photo, just as she's about to move her index finger to take the photo, Pat walks out a shot and says, "Oh, I can't do this," you know. And it was like he was just trying to make a point, right? And we thought, well, wait a minute, Pat, wait a minute. So I sent Ruth a text. I says, "Ruth, hi, it's Tam here. Sorry to disturb your night," I says, "but I just want to apologise on behalf of me and Stuart about the atmosphere that was kind of generated in the studio today. It's never, ever, ever what we aim for, and I'm sitting here tonight feeling absolutely rotten about it. Please accept my apology." And she just got back, and it was a great line. And she said, and she don't mind me for telling tales out of school, she says, "Tam, I've dealt with bigger than that."
And one more question for you. What colour is a mirror?
What colour is a mirror?
Aye.
You're asking a man who's colour blind. I'm colour blind, really bad. I had to stop playing the piano. Now, the that's silver.
Is it?
Is it?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Right, I'd say silver. Aye, a mirror's silver.
Do you know what Mark Wilson said when he was our guest? Oof. He says it's what's behind you.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
He's not the brightest, is he?
Nah, he's not the brightest.
I think you're quite close with silver, actually.
Silver rank's going to be silver. Yeah.
There are a few big European matches this week, so let's get back to Ewan and his Eurovision.
I'm good at this.
So, predictions, please. Ewan Cameron, it's Celtic versus Real Madrid at Parkhead on Tuesday night. What are we thinking?
4-1 Real Madrid.
4-1 Real Madrid. Ajax versus Rangers Wednesday night in Amsterdam.
After watching Rangers at the weekend, and I know they're pretty good when they're on... when they're playing in Europe, I think Ajax might win that 1-0.
1-0. And your own team? We've done Rangers already. Hearts versus Istanbul Başakşehir.
I'd take a draw right now.
What do you think the score will be, though?
I think 2-1 to the Turkish side. I mean, Ozil's coming as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yes, I believe so.
A few others that are well-known in that team just now that are playing their trade in Turkey. So, yeah, I think a mixed bag for the Scottish teams this week.
Okay, right, fair enough.
What do you think, Tam? Do you think anyone will win this week?
I think Celtic will get a 1-1 draw.
Do you think so against Real Madrid?
I think there's a wee bit, they'll maybe just catch Real Madrid a wee bit in the hop if they play with that intensity. And they're absolutely tails up after the Old Firm game, of course.
But it's Real Madrid. And
I know it's Real Madrid, but I'm just saying, you know, y'all remember when Tony Watt scored the late winner against Barcelona. Look at him now.
Yeah.
Can he score at all? So he's clearly not a world beater, although I did say he was when he was at Motherwell. But so these results can happen from time to time. And I just think, I'll go one each, Celtic and Real Madrid Tuesday night.
Ajax Rangers, what do you think, Tom?
I think Rangers need to score first to get a result, because I've got a feeling psychologically if they lose a goal, they'll still have the Celtic game playing in their minds. But I think therefore it's going to be very tight, maybe quite a dour affair, and I think Rangers will be delighted to fly home with a 0-0.
And Hearts on Thursday night?
Hearts will win 2-0.
Get in!
Hearts will win 2-0.
They've
got better players than recent results have maybe suggested, and I think I kind of agree with Robbie. He said the spark is gone, but the electric atmosphere on Thursday night will help, and I absolutely. But you need a big game for Barry Mackay. I was bumming him up something rotten at the start of the season.
He deserves a Scotland cap.
Aye. But you know, I'm quite confident that Jambos will get a big win.
Are you going to the game yet?
No, I'm going to St Mirren game on Sunday.
Right. Okay.
I can't go to the game on Thursday, unfortunately.
Going to the big one on Sunday.
It's the only time I can get to go to the games, because there's a lot of games for Hearts that are being played on the Sunday, so I could go and see them then. Because I work on a Saturday.
Yeah, that is true.
What'd you do?
I work with Stephen.
Oh, all right.
Did you not know that?
Eh? Nah, just sometimes. You know, sometimes wee stations you can't. The dial. Disney, you've got to, you know, got precision. It's like a safe breaker. You've got to get it just to sit on that before you get anything coming through.
Very good, very good, you.
We're on after you.
I know, you're on it too. Anytime you want, man, give me a shout.
Can I ask you a question? 28 yes. years off the ball, how much longer will it go on for?
Until I need to start cutting Stuart's meat up from I already very courteously pick him up from a sheltered house in Denniston every Saturday and Sunday morning and bring him up. But no, I mean, Stuart, the thing astonishes a lot of folk, and he won't mind me saying
that. There was a story going on 2 years ago that he was thinking about walking away.
Stuart?
Yeah.
Probably you that started this story.
No.
When you were looking for a gig.
No, I wasn't looking for a gig. There was a story going round that he was looking at walking away. And no. He'd had enough of it.
I would have heard that story. The only reason that you did might end like that is that Stuart, he's got a wee boy, Jack, who was 10 last week. And Jack, unfortunately, has got real severe autism. Yeah. And it's a hands-on job for Stuart. And he's a great dad with all that. If ever you're wanting a dad who you thought could cope with something like that and would read everything on the subject and would do everything he could, it's Stuart, right? Yeah. Research is a thing he puts down as a hobby, right? Never mind when he's doing his books and all that. But no, for day one, Stuart always said, well, Stuart was still heavily, heavily involved with Channel 4 before he did walk away for them, took his money and ran about 5-6 years ago now. Stuart would be doing at London a lot, and he'd be doing all these flights up and down in flights from Glasgow to Birmingham and Glasgow to Cardiff and back up. And it was doing him in. And Stuart always said that when he came in today, the radio with me in the weekend, it was like his weekend off. That's how much he enjoyed it. He was just able to relax, sit and have a laugh about the football. And if he was lucky and St Johnstone were within reach, go and see his team, you know. So I think, I mean, Stuart will be 70 on November the 12th this year, you know. He's a good old age, but, you know, there's a lot, if not only his dress sense and his music and all the rest of Andy's wee boy, it kind of keeps him fairly young, so...
You think you'll keep going for as long as you can?
I would certainly. I mean, I feel like a young boy and a kind of my sense of humour is puerile schoolboy stuff. But so I don't. I'm 53 now, but I don't feel 53. Yeah. You know. So I certainly would love to batter in for many a year to come. But well, as far as Stuart goes, Stuart will be. Let me say this. Stuart will be 72 when it's our 30th anniversary. That sounds a lovely milestone. Yes. And I'll remind you that Richard Gordon bowed out on Saturdays, albeit straight into another job. A great gig, maybe a dream gig for a football fan, media officer at Cove Rangers, and he was able to move back up to his beloved North East. But yeah, 30th anniversary, who knows if there's any truth in what you're saying. Stuart might have another think about the future, but no, I wouldn't love it too much.
Get to at least the 30th anniversary.
Aye,
that'd be a nice way to walk away.
At least you can get a book and everything out of that.
Aye, totally, 100%.
And any day the road shows and all that with a brewery.
Yeah.
Maybe a brewery does a crisp, clean lager like Tennent's. Tennent's lager, the finest pint in Scotland.
So if you could pick anything from your newspaper columns, from your restaurant reviews, from your speaking gigs that you do, and the radio would be number one.
You know what? They've all got their own merits. I love going up in front of a live audience. I was doing it quite a busy weekend there. I love going up in front of a live audience, me and a microphone, and always, because I would always change my tier. Going up there in front of them and try to get some topical stuff. So the weekend there was manna for having had two gigs in both in Glasgow, which were in the wake of the Old Firm game. So you can't really fail as long as you get a bit of balance, right? So you're in there, whatever it might have been, on Saturday night, and you say, right, oh, one of the items I've got for you later on, ladies and gentlemen, the auction. We've got a ball here, a Rangers ball, signed by all the players who got a touch this afternoon, right? And then you hear, and a boo, you're mugging, right, and all that. And then so you balance that. And you see, also what we've got up tonight is for one of the lovely ladies. Where's all the ladies? They're on their finery and all that, you know. Ladies, great prize for you later on. We're going to give one of you the opportunity to play in goals for Real Madrid at Celtic Park. So, but you know what? I've always said for years and years and years, see if you ever do a topical joke doesn't need to be the best joke in the world, but see if you put the effort into it and do it, particularly in front of a live crowd or on the radio or whatever, they always work a treat. So I love in front of a live audience. I love doing the radio because you could as good as do it in your jammies, couldn't you, Ewan? You know
easily.
What I mean? And for all the years you've been involved, right? You could could go and you could arrive late and all that. With the telly, I mean, with a great innings with the telly, we had 9 years, 130 odd shows doing offside. I loved doing that. And obviously, again, I'll not make any bones about it. Minute you do telly, yes, the remuneration is always better in telly as well. So that,
but I find telly not as rewarding or as exciting as radio, because radio is off the now.
Exactly.
It's
exactly
the now.
Exactly. And you've got to, with telly stuff, there's rehearsals, yeah. There's, oh no, scripts. We need to do it here, the camera, oh, the light popped, yeah. Here, can we start that? You know, there's all that stuff. But I generally, and I love, you know what I love as well, and this covers all bases, and that's me put a tick next to everyone. Sitting Dunes are still there. I've got 2 pages to fill in the Daily Record on a Thursday now. And that was when I went back to the Daily Record, maybe at 53, maybe they feel a bit older than I am. But when they wanted to make a back there, it was me kind of said, I says, right, that's all I want to do. I just want to do the one hit for you a week. Quite happy with all the radio stuff a day. I'm more than happy with the corporate, the speaking gigs, the stand-up gigs, whatever it might be. And I've got a young daughter as well, who I don't want to end up like Jim McLean, who, if he's listening from above, always still rues the day. He always rued the day that he didn't spend time with his boys growing up. He was too much right into Dundee United. Madness with the football, right? So I've got that to figure in as well. But the newspaper, I love, there's nothing better. See, just sitting at my, I'm going back to do a bit when I go home after this. Sitting at my desk, bit of peace and quiet, cup of coffee, bit of music in the background. And then just there's something beautiful about creating something in the written page. And I still get a buzz. I mean, I started in the papers when I was 20, wee strip column in the Evening Times. And I still get a buzz opening up the next day's newspaper and seeing your stuff, yeah, there, and your byline and that. Yeah. It still gives you a wee buzz, you know?
Totally. It's, yeah, like I get a buzz every time you open up the microphone on a live radio show. See that buzz you get?
Aye.
I think the day that goes is the day that I walk,
aye,
away from radio.
That's where you would chuck it.
Yeah,
aye,
totally.
Absolutely.
100%. So I know exactly what you're saying.
Aye, I, yeah, hope you don't get the buzz tomorrow.
Right, Tam, we need to go because we've,
well, David,
got,
where are we going? Where are we going?
We're getting your motorhome and we're going wherever you want. But listen, thanks very much for being on the show. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a joy. Thank you for having me.
And remember, you can follow us in all the usual places and you can enter our Twitter competition to win yourself a brand new Scotland National Football Team top. Just go to @BigFootballScott and you'll see all the details there. But thank you very much, Tam Cowan. It's been a pleasure. Thank
well
you
done,
very
Tam.
Much,
thank Ewan you,
Cameron,
my
as well.
Pleasure.
And thank you all for listening as well. We'll be back next week and we'll have more of the usual fun and games. Thank you very much.